The Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, the 9th chapter. John said to Jesus, "Teacher, we saw someone casting out demons in your name, and we tried to stop him because he was not following us." But Jesus said, "Do not stop him, for no one who does a deed of power in my name will be able soon afterward to speak evil of me. Whoever is not against us is for us. For truly I tell you, whoever gives a cup of water to drink because you bear the name of Christ will by no means lose the reward. If any of you put a stumbling block before one of these little ones who believes in me, it would be better for you if a great millstone were hung around your neck and you were thrown into the sea. If your hand causes you to stumble, cut it off. It is better for you to enter life maimed than to have two hands and to go to hell, to the unquenchable fire. And if your foot causes you to stumble, cut it off. It is better for you to enter life lame than to have two feet and to be thrown into hell. And if your eye causes you to stumble, tear it out. It is better for you to enter the kingdom of God with one eye than to have two eyes and to be thrown into hell, where the worm never dies and the fire is never quenched. For everyone will be salted with fire. Salt is good, but if salt has lost its saltiness, how can you season it? Have salt in yourselves and be at peace with one another." This is the gospel of the Lord. I invite my young friends forward for a children's message. Call me kids. Jamie, come on. Guys, a big crowd at first service today. All right, I've got out the crayons and done some of my fantastic artwork here. Let's see how we did. Don't do that one yet. All right, what is this a picture of? It could look like a slide. What does that look like at the end? That's a finish line, right? So what do these guys look like? They're getting ready to race, right? And both of their lanes are equal. We don't know if orange or blue is going to get to the end first. Orange and blue are always good colors. Okay, so we'll see, right? Okay, so this looks like we're ready for a good race. Now, let's look at this other picture for a second. Geometry here. What's different about this picture?
There's a block in the way.
There's a big block in whose lane?
Orange.
So blue looks happy, right? How does orange look? Orange looks frustrated, right? Has that block mark of an exclamation point. Why do you think he's going to win?
Because of
the
block.
So orange, the block is bigger than the orange guy? And he can't get over it? So the blue's...
Maybe orange
should jump on it and grab on. Yeah, you can take it together. So here's the thing, guys. Do you know what this is? This is a stumbling block. Did you hear me just reading a story from Jesus about stumbling blocks just a moment ago? A stumbling block is when somebody puts something in front of somebody else that keeps them from being able to do the same. And it's not necessarily always going to be a block, but it might be that they get in the way, or they close a door, or they just aren't helpful. And Jesus reminded the grown-ups that it's not good to be a stumbling block, that it's not good to be in the way. Rather, everyone should be able to come to Jesus, like the first picture, where everyone can run equally, right? That's what we want, for everyone to have equal access to God's love and to know that. But is it a good thing to have a block in the way?
No.
So what do you think we could do here to get rid of that block?
Use this picture.
Use this picture, right? Well, how about if we just push it away? And you know, that's one of the things that we do as the church. We push away the blocks in life. Like people who want to come to church, but they need help doing it, we push away the blocks and try to get them here. If you serve canned food and give it to the hungry, are we pushing away a block for somebody who's hungry? Yeah. When people come and sleep here during the winter, are we pushing away the block?
Yeah.
What about when people are sad and we have spaces for them to feel better? Is that pushing away a block? Yeah, there's all these different things that we can do to help push away stumbling blocks as kids and grown-ups alike. And that's what Jesus is asking us to do today in the gospel text. Think we can remember that?
I think we can. All right, let's say a prayer before we go back to our seats. Good morning, God.
Good morning, God.
Thank you for this day.
Thank you for this day.
Help us look for stumbling blocks.
Help us look for stumbling blocks.
And push them out of the way.
And push them out of the way.
So that everyone may know your love.
So that everyone may know your love.
And we can help people.
And we can help people.
To have better lives.
To have better lives.
We love you, God.
We love you, God.
Amen. You guys can head back to your seats. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. You know, one of the things that Christians are awfully good at doing is criticizing other Christians. It is sometimes a hobby, sometimes an anger, sometimes a pretentiousness. But we have before, as people of God, whether ourselves or heard it from others, thought or muttered or blatantly said phrases like these. Churches that have edgy sounding names like Radius or Elevate can't be real churches. Worship that would include dancing or spontaneous singing doesn't count. Traditions that don't baptize babies are misguided. Worship happens only in sanctuaries, not in converted warehouses or storefronts or even a bar. Congregations that are independent and don't have a denomination as a respectable oversight aren't as respectable as those that do. Only certain types of music are appropriate for worship. Or the one I've heard the most, to preach the gospel, you must have a master's degree from an accredited theological institution. I saw a lot of nods as I went through that list. Maybe a little bit of confession that we ourselves have thought or said those things. The way that I compiled this list was for me to simply confess to God that I have thought or said all of these things myself at somewhere along the ways. I can promise you that seminarians think they know everything. But to think these things and to put their churches and the servants of God on different levels is dangerous at best. But our gospel text today reminds us just how unnecessary it is and what Jesus has to say about it. Because here we are, deep now into the ministry of Jesus and his followers, the disciples who are with him, who have seen him teach and preach and heal, who have been with him on every step of the journey. And then John comes back and brings word that there's somebody else. Somebody who hasn't gone through our accreditation process. Somebody who hasn't been with you the whole time, Jesus, who is healing demons in your name. They want Jesus to answer that and to get that person in trouble and to put a stop to it. But what does Jesus do? He says, "Do not stop them. For no one who does a deed of power in my name will soon be able afterward to speak evil against me. Whoever is not against us is for us." My friends, that's a sobering reminder as we as Christian community, as Christian community that has spent the last 500 years and long even before that dividing itself time and time again within schism and broken relationship and tradition and understanding of culture norms and the world around us. And for all these sorts of reasons, creating not only so many denominations, but independent bodies that we have no idea what kind of church we're actually walking into anymore. And so we cling to what we know, and we cling to our Lutheran traditions and the understanding of the ELCA, and know, okay, we've got that right. But then we judge others who might be doing it in a different way. And then we hear this text today. To know that our neighbors down the street or around the corner are the ones who have different traditions or different reflections on what it means to God be God's people. To the ones whose services take place in shapes and times nowhere like ours. But to recognize that they all gather to worship. They all gather to proclaim a gospel of Jesus' love. no matter where they are. And so we're reminded on this that as we gather in this place, Jesus is making it clear to his first disciples and we as Augsburg disciples that this is not the only place that God is at work. And we're reminded that these folks are not against us. And so rather, these, our brothers and sisters, are for us as well. But Jesus' understanding of this passage, Jesus' call for his disciples to understand, is not limited to how we do church, but it is also included in how we live as the church as well. And how we live as the church, not only as God's people in Sunday mornings, but in the rest of our lives. And do we create stumbling blocks for others in the ways that we live in the world around us? Right now, in our life, shown on the scale of the media that has seeped down even into our own communities and workplaces and daily interactions with one another, that are evident on the screens of our social media and anywhere where we encounter conversation with others, we are finding this mentality that the way that I think is right and that any other way has to be wrong. That my opinion, my experience is greater than that of the other, and that my way is the right way. We see the dangerous consequences that happens in relationships and in the world and in all the ways that is lived out. And we're reminded that as we confess our shortcomings with that, and as we look at those who are unable to budge at all, that being set in our own ways creates a very dangerous brokenness in the world around us. A brokenness that we confess every time we gather together. A brokenness that if we're not careful and so set in our way as the only way, creates spaces for isms and archies in the way that we live out our lives. And we see that and encounter that with people that we know and those that we don't, but see proclaim that on larger stages. And I don't think that I've ever seen a time in my recollection where our communities and our nation has been more broken and more separated than it is in this time. Because we have created space, because we have created all of this distance between us, that we miss what Jesus is reminding us of this gospel text today. What Jesus is telling us clearly is that when we are so caught up in defending what we think that is right, that we are quite possibly hurting others. In the imagery that Jesus uses in this text today, that it would be better to cut off your hand or your foot or pop out your eye than to hurt another, is sobering and hard to hear as we recognize just how painful broken relationships can be. And we find that in the suffering of the world around us today. No scripture compilation on a Sunday morning is accidental. Those who have put together the readings that we read each week that are shared at churches that transcend denominations and cultures have heard the same text from Numbers and James and the gospel that we have heard today. And so what we hear from the book of James and its scholarly wisdom is the perfect complement to what Jesus says in this gospel. That we as Christian people, as disciples of Christ, must create this space for relationship that acknowledges that we might not be entirely right among a world that is suffering. So when this text from the book of James starts with, "Are any among you suffering? Are any among you suffering?" We have to recognize that the answer is yes. The answer is yes. There are many among us who suffer as individuals. And there are many in our lives who we know are suffering as well. These times have created a difficult time of suffering for so many in our lives, The brokenness of this world is exposed, and for many, the scars of the past have been scratched once again. And there is pain. There is pain and hurt with life experience that has been quenched for decades. There is pain and hurt for those we know who have struggled with it, who have never had the support they've needed. There is pain and hurt within us when we have been unable to share our pain as well. And so when we are asked, is any among you suffering? The answer is yes. And so we turn to the words of this epistle to see what James calls Christian community to do, just as all of the first writers of the New Testament did. They gave clear and concise understanding to Christian community about what it meant to be God's people. And the author of James is very clearly to say that we are called to prayer and confession. To prayer and confession. Because for all the names that we lift up publicly, there's the end of that space where we pause and say, and for those who we lift up in our hearts. Knowing that we pray for ourselves and for so many in our lives who are suffering, who are scarred, who are broken, who have been tormented and reminded of it time and time again. And we lift them up in prayer. But we're also called to a time of confession. And to acknowledge that there's more that we can do. To be sympathetic listeners. To be advocates for one another. To do what Jesus told us to do and what the children reminded us a moment ago of the same. To seek ways to remove the stumbling blocks in our lives. Jesus calls us to remove the stumbling blocks by listening and advocating for our neighbors, hearing their stories, providing compassion and support, and then working together to remove those stumbling blocks. What that does is creates a space for God's will to be bigger than our preconditions and assumptions. For God's will to be at work in the Holy Spirit that allows us to expand our capacity and say, well, you know what? If God can be worshipped in a warehouse, we certainly can do the same here and find ways to partner together. Because the churches that we partner with in creating this shelter often don't look like ours at all. But we come together to serve our neighbor in need. And the communities of faith that gather together to support victims of domestic violence and all of the different ways that we see abuse in our community look as different as the places they worship. But they come together to remove the stumbling blocks of the world around us. That's what God calls us to be. As children of God who gather together at this table, knowing that our table is connected to so many in so many different places that may not say things just the same, but come together to be reminded of the redemptive power of Christ. And when we're gathered in that space, and we recognize that those among us and in our lives, within our family, our neighbors, our co-workers, our communities, our nation, are suffering, that we are called to remove those stumbling blocks any way that we can, any way in our daily lives that we can just seek to make a little bit of difference, even if it means acknowledging that we might not be fully right. Trusting in God and trusting in the Spirit means that we open ourselves to be vulnerable. But in being vulnerable, we are able to serve the world. That's where we are at Augsburg right now. There's a little bit of a vulnerability as we're trying to take a bold step in moving forward as God's people. And everything that you've heard for the last month has nothing to do with keeping us comfortable or allowing us to continue a status quo. Rather, it's focused on continued experiments and opportunities to proclaim outreach and serve our neighbors in true love and support. It's rooted in building relationships among generations within these walls and outside. And it's lived out in a proclamation to boldly proclaim the gospel here in this building and everywhere else we go. And so we take a leap and we trust in God. We do that in our means and in our resources, but also in opening ourselves to the Holy Spirit to know that with prayer and confession, God works to build community and push stumbling blocks aside. After Jesus gets done with this whole litany of really scary things that his disciples hear, and they're worried what body parts are they going to end up losing, he reminds them that they are salt. And that salt in that time was used just as much as a source of preservation as it was of taste. That salt was used to keep something fresh just a little bit longer in a time before Frigidaire, so that communities could use their resources just a little bit more. And that's what God calls us to be. That's what Jesus reminds us to be. To allow us to go out into the world, to be that saltiness, to add that flavor that we bring by being a dynamic community of faith, but also to work together to preserve those spaces that need to be held onto, so that people might continue to know God's love. So go and be a little salty. Go and recognize that God calls us to acknowledge in our confession that our ways, that our ideas might have space for new invitation and new opportunity. To recognize that the voice that we might not have yet heard is one that might have a story of pain, but might be one that we need to hear. And that we are called to preserve those sisters and brothers in our midst as well, so that we recognize that through God, great things happen. Stumbling blocks get pushed aside, and the kingdom of God becomes near. Thanks be to God. Amen.